Okay, so let's see a Shvivei Lev. I was looking for something on Purim. I wasn't able to find any. So we'll do a good one instead. On page Resh Samach Aleph, Eis Kuf Nan Gimel. Yidua HaMaisa B'Nachem Ish Gamzu. The Maisa with Nachem Ish Gamzu, a very famous Maisa on the Gemara in Taina, Shalach B'Derech L'Veis Chamov. That he was on his way to his father-in-law's house, and he was carrying with him a very big load on his donkeys. Three chamayrim full of meichel u'mishta minim begadim. Uva ani achad, an ani comes as he's on the chamar, riding this big procession down to his shver. V'amar lai Rebbe Parnassani, I need money. Can you give me some tzedakah? V'amar lai Nachem Ish Gamzu said to him, Hamtein ad she'efrek min hachamar. You have to give me a second. I have to dismount from the donkey. V'lai hisbik lifrek min hachamar ad she'yatsa nishmasek. Problem is, by the time he got off the donkey, as long as that may have taken, maybe 30 seconds, a minute, in the meantime, the ani died. V'halach Nachem Ish Gamzu v'nafal al panav. Nachem Ish Gamzu goes, he falls on the ani's face, or he falls on his own face. V'amar eini shalechasu al einecha, my eyes that didn't have rachmanis on your eyes, yosumu. They should go blind. Yadish lechasla yodecha, my hands that didn't have mercy on your hands, you were sticking out your hand for tzedakah, and I couldn't care less. I didn't have rachmanis on your hands. Yiskadmu, they should be amputated. Ragli shlechasla raglecha, my feet that weren't quick enough to get off of the donkey and help your feet, yiskatu, also they should be cut off. My whole body should be full of boils. And that's not what happened. The Gemara says that that's how Nachem Ish Gamzu spent the rest of his life. He had no hands, he had no arms, he had no legs. He had boils all over his body. The Gemara describes the terrible situation that he was in, that they would put basins of water underneath the legs of the bed. The four legs of the bed would be put in basins of water so that rodents and bugs shouldn't climb up because he wouldn't be able to fend them off. Imagine the serum of this great tzaddik, Nachem Ish Gamzu. So his Talmidim came in and they saw him in such a desperate situation, and they said to him, Oy lanu shirinucha bekach, woe is to us that we have to see you in such a state. Amar Lahem, he responds to his Talmidim, Oile im loiri nus ri'isuni bekach, woe would be to me if you had not seen me this way. Very, very powerful Gemara. But the Gemara is very difficult to understand, obviously. What did Nachem Ish Gamzu do wrong? What did he do wrong? He didn't say, no, you know, go find somebody else to collect from money from. He didn't say, go get a job or something like that. He was saying, I'm getting off. Just give me 30 seconds. I'm going to give you. By the time he got off, he died. Why is that his fault? What did he do wrong? And that's the Alter Van Kalem's question. Alter Van Kalem was the Rebbe of, he was Rebbe Lapian, learned by the Alter Van Kalem. And he said, why was he Taveya himself? Why was he so hard on himself that he insisted on this terrible einish? That far, it was the punishment fit the crime? Is that so terrible what he did? Wasn't his fault. He was a complete einis. There was no bigger einis than him. Sherat says, Lasislai. He wanted to give him. What's he supposed to do? He had to get off the donkey. He had to get his, his purse out of the pocket of one of the saddles and give it to him. Why is that? What's the avla? The Tirutz HaSabazal. So the altar answers, She'odom gadol kenachem ish gamzu tova asatzmai. A great man, maybe for us it wouldn't be a problem. For us it's normal. You open the door, there's an ani at the door, you don't have your wallet on, you don't have money, so you go to, you know, to a room and you ask your mother for money or you ask your father for money, and by the time you get back, maybe it's a few minutes, that's normal, that's fine. That's fine. But Nachum Ish Gamzu was such a tzaddik, he was on such a high level, he was taiveya himself, he had tainus on himself. What was the taina? Shailoi lachshev shema yifkesh baderech ani kazeh sha'aymed lamas meravain v'yucha lahamden at shifrag menachamar. He should have seen that eventuality, that possibility. It was not. It should not have been, for us, that might not be in the realm of what, it's not within the scope of our way of thinking. So we're reactionary. We react to things. So if we have an ani, he comes and we want to give him, so we'll go, we'll find the money, we'll get it. We're not. No one's thinking like, okay, what happens if I go to this place and there's an ani there? But Nachum Ish Gamzu was on that madrega. So he was upset with himself. Like, Taka, why? There's no aniyim around. There are no people that are begging for money. And maybe he's dying of this ani that may exist when I come into town with my donkeys and he might be starving and famished and he might not be able to wait those 30 seconds. So Nachum Ish Gamzu had a taina on himself that, you know what he should have done? He should have had money, he should have had cash in his pocket for that very reason. If only I had cash in my pocket ready for that eventuality, he might still be alive. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I properly prepare myself for such a possibility? Vayetzarech lahachin mazon b'amtachtei. He should have prepared food in his sack, or bekisei begadu, in one of his pockets, shemizdamen loykach leitzach lahamdin v'achilu miyad. He should have had money, he should have had a cookie or something in his pocket that he wouldn't have to wait at all. Look at this footnote. This footnote's quite interesting. Al pizeh hevanti davar nifla. This is not Rebbe Eli Lapian. This is a Talmud Rebbe Eli Lapian who put together the sefer. I believe it was Rav Shalom Shadron, the great Maggid of Yerushalayim, he wrote this sefer. He was the one that compiled all of these sichas and short pieces and biographies about Rebbe Eli Lapian, his rabbi. And I think these footnotes are from him. So he says, based on this vart of Rebbe Eli Lapian, on this Gemara in Tainus, I understand davar nifla, something amazing. One of the great Hasidim once told me, "Uvda me admar hagayna kadosh Rabbi Yeshua mi Belz." One of the great rabbis in the line of the Belz of Hasidim. "Bechol yema kippur machar tzarayim, every Yom Kippur in the afternoon, hayim mistayvev haylech v'shuv ben meyas haChasidim shahayim espam shom." Has anyone been to the Belz Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim? I've never been there, but I've seen pictures of it. What? You were there. It's massive, right? Huge. So I don't know. It was a replica of the Belzer Stiebel in Belz, and wherever that is. And where's Belz? In Poland, Austria. I don't know. But I don't think the Belzer Shul in Europe was nearly anywhere as big as it. But it was also a very large size shul with a lot of Belz of Hasidim that used to come far and wide to daven by the Rebbe. And when Yeshua of Belz was the Rebbe, every Yom Kippur in the afternoon, he would walk up and down the aisles of his big Beis Medrash amongst hundreds of Hasidim, Shayim Espalim Sham, Umabe Bifneim Bahaylach. And he was like staring in the faces of every Hasid. He was like looking them like square in the eyes. And they didn't understand what he was doing. Why? What was the Rebbe want? Was he walking up and down the aisles, looking at everybody in the face? But one day, one time, on Yom Kippur, one of the Hasidim started. He had, like, I think bulmus is what, epilepsy. He had like an epileptic fit. umiyad kfar amad ha'admar zal etzloi, and then the Rebbe rushes over to him. They didn't have atzala back then. Haitzi uga misuka mitech kisai. He pulled out a sweet cookie from his pocket. V'tachav l'soich piv, and he stuck it into his mouth. Ashirenav, until he was resuscitated. He was like chalashing. He was, very ill. And the Rebbe had that food ready so that he would be able to feed him. At that time, from that time on, the bells of Hasidim now understood what the Rebbe was doing. He was going up and down the rows of Hasidim Yom Kippur to make sure that they were all healthy. And if there was one chassid that looked a little schwach, looked a little unhealthy, then he would be metapo with him. He'd have something in his pocket for them. Maybe he'd have spices to revive him, or maybe if he needed a cookie or something, whatever it was. But you see the godless of Gedalim, that they don't just wait to react. If we're lucky, we're reactive. We react to things. We have somebody ask us for something, I'll try to help you. How many people go out of their way before something happens to think about somebody ahead of time and make it your business to be prepared? Like a good Boy Scout. Good Boy Scout's always prepared. Are you prepared? Are we prepared for things that may come up? That something might come up, somebody might need something, and you're ready. I was thinking of like a good Maisa that I could think of to like double down on Rav Shalom Shadrach's Baisa, and then it hit me that I was just at the Aruch Chaim dinner on Sunday night, and one of the honorees was he lives in our neighborhood here, and they were naming the Beis Medrash in Aruch Chaim after a certain Chashuva Balabayas, who I was quite close with. He lived around the corner from me, Mamish, right? Mama, we share. We're diagonal backyard neighbors. And he was a very, very fine person. Very fine person. Came over from Hungary, I think, in the mid-1970s. And he built up he was very successful. He got married to a wonderful wife. And they have a beautiful mishpacha. And so the son-in-law of, who was speaking on behalf of the family, he was speaking about not only his father-in-law's side, but also his mother-in-law's side. And he said that his mother-in-law's parents, the husband was a Rav in Forest Hills, which is not so far from here, and he was from Germany, and he met his wife, and they sort of were mishadach together without a shadchan. I mean, they met initially. I don't know, maybe they had a shotgun afterwards, but what impressed him about her? So they were on some sort of trip, I believe. I might be getting some of the facts wrong, but they went on an outing. I don't know, a whole group of young boys, girls, and this girl, one of the girls, had two sandwiches. She had two sandwiches. So this boy asked her, like, why do you need two sandwiches? Are you that hungry? She said, no, it's not for me. She said, you never know. There might be somebody on the trip that didn't pack a lunch, that forgot to pack a lunch, and I wanted to make sure that I would, that somebody that doesn't have a meal has a meal. So I made one sandwich for myself and one sandwich for somebody else, should that need arise. And as soon as he heard that from her, he said, okay, that's my wife. It was just a matter they had to go out and whatever, but that was a nice one. That's a very hush of a story. That's a very hush of, that's mamish, this is what we're talking about. To be a little bit, to think not just about yourself. Like if I pack two sandwiches, probably because I might get hungry, I want to have one for, and then maybe I'm not going to need it at supper. Like, I'm thinking about myself, or thinking about my kids, or whatever, maybe. But, but people that are chashuv are thinking about other people. Like, maybe there are people besides for myself that'll be hungry, and I should have a snack for them. I should have a meal for them. I should order for them something. And it's not like the biggest deal. If you once you hear about it, it's like, yeah, it's obvious almost. But how many people actually do that? How many people go and they think about, you know, what's going to be in such a situation? Like, you think about scenarios that possibly could happen. It's not so far-fetched. And you try to fill that need. You know, sometimes you have like, you have like the Mincha Ma'ariv booklets, right, in your pocket sometimes. Like Lander used to give them out, like in a, I don't know if they still do, but they have like a, in a little plastic pouch and keep it in your pocket. So why? Because if you go to a chasna, you go somewhere and you're going to catch a Mincha Ma'ariv, you'll have it. Now, would it be so crazy if like we brought like two of them or three of them maybe so that when we're davening Mincha, we could give them out to other people? I'm just saying, like, that's something like that would be like thinking a little bit outside of the box of what, yeah, there's things that I need, but if I need it, there's a good chance that other people might need it also. And so let me think about other people. There was a person on my block, very chashuv yid. He was a concentration camp survivor and we were very, very close. And he, every morning, when I'm not davening here in yeshiva, like in the summers or ben hazmanim, so I generally daven Rabbi Marcus' shul in Young Israel on Main Street. So every morning when I would daven at the 7:15 minyan, this man who was considerably older than me, you know, he's probably 50 years older than me. He was nifter a good, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. He would say, Rabbi Bamberger, I'm waiting for you outside. He would like, I could walk. It's not that far from the shul to, you know, to my house. It's like literally a 5 minute walk. But he always like made it his business, like give me a lift. And sometimes it was like awkward, like, you know, you don't have to give me a lift. I'm okay, I'm good. If I would give him a lift, that would make sense. But like, why is he giving me a lift? And I asked him once, I said, like, you know, why are you so into giving me a lift? Like, it's not... So he said, I'll tell you why. He says, for many years when he came over from Europe after the war, he lived in Borough Park. He was a refugee, concentration camp survivor. And he didn't have a car. He couldn't afford a car. So he would stand by like a bus stop and it would be pouring rain sometimes. And he saw from people like just passing right by him. Nobody pulled over, you know, asked him if he can give him a lift. And, you know, it just wasn't, he was very upset by it. And he promised himself during those days of when he was hard up on, you know, on money and stuff, he said, if I ever should be able to afford a car, I will use it to do chesed with. I will use it to give people lifts. That's the main tachlis of my car. He says, and then Baruch Hashem, I was able to afford a car. I got a car. And I try to always give people lifts. As much as I can, I try to give people lifts. It's like, that's what a yid is supposed to be. A yid is supposed to be somebody that is not just thinking about himself. I need a car because I need to get from point A to point B. That's one way of looking at a car. Another way of looking at a car is it's an opportunity to do chesed constantly. We could always like find people that need lifts and, you know, if people are, you know, just to use it as a chesed machine. I don't know, you know, that it's the same car. You're renting or leasing or buying the same car, but it's a completely different attitude of being proactive in terms of I want it so that I can help other people. And this is what Nachum Ish Gamzu had such a taina on himself. Like, why wasn't I prepared for that? I should have had two sandwiches in my pocket. I ate one of them. I should have had another one for an ani that may have come. By the time I get off the donkey and start looking for bread and looking for tuna fish or whatever and putting it all together, the guy died already. What? Why didn't I think about somebody else? That's Reb Elia's Yesaid. And look, just go back up and look at what he says. Al kapanim roimanu mizeh gaidel ha'ene shekibel atzmai. Avor davar kal bazesh lehela al daitish is damelay mitzias rechayka ma'ay kazu. It was a far-fetched concern, but as the gadol that he was so strict on himself, and he was so upset with himself for not thinking this way, that look at what he did to himself. He mamish like made himself, and he said to the Talmidim, said, what would it be if you hadn't seen me this way? Clearly he felt that in Shamayim there would be a, unless he was able to do such a radical kapara, and obviously it's something that is beyond the scope of human comprehension, and it's definitely not something that we should try to emulate in that regard, but he was such a tzaddik that he was able to hold himself to such a standard. He felt that on his madrega, if he had not done this terrible einish to himself, to get amputated hands, legs, arms, boils all over, like you can't imagine a bigger Gehenim, but there is a bigger Gehenim. For him, the Gehenim would have been to go Lachamei Vesrim and have to answer for what he did, and this was his kapara. You know, there's a Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in the his grandson actually, no, it's, I think it's his son. His son writes Hakdama to the Nefesh HaChaim, and he writes that my father Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he used to have one common theme that he would always speak about. He would have a quote, and he used to say that Ha'adam le'nivra Ela lahayel la'achirim kechol mashi yuchal. The purpose of a person being created, he says layla atzmei nivra ha'adam layla atzmei nivra. You weren't created for yourself. Ela lahayel la'achirim kechol mashi yuchal. But rather, the reason why we were all put here on this world is to help other people. Help other people. We were not put here for ourselves, which is a newsflash, right? Because that's not the way we're wired. We're definitely wired. I think I'll speak on behalf of all of us. We're all wired, basically, to take care of ourselves first and foremost. I think if we'd be able to examine our, you know, get a pie graph of our brain and how much time we spend thinking about ourselves versus other people, I would say a good portion, I would say it's upwards of like 80-90% maybe about ourselves. We're thinking about what we're going to eat, you know, tonight after Ma'ariv, what we're going to be studying, if, you know, what we're going, how we're going to be doing on our midterms, and what we're going to be doing Purim, and what we're going to be doing Pesach, and what we're going to be doing in the summer, and about internships and externships and DATs and MCATs and CPAs, and that's what our minds are thinking. And that's obviously that's important. We have to. Who else is going to think about that if not for us? We have to make a parnasa, and we have to learn. We have to dive. We have to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to preserve ourselves. We have to take care of. We have to go work out. We have to eat properly. We have to. That's all important. But if that's all we're doing all day and all night, and that's that, and it's 95% of our brain is just consumed with what we're doing with ourselves, that's defying the whole purpose of our existence, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That's not why we were put here for. Obviously, the extent that we have to worry about eating, we have to sleep, we have to learn, we have to daven, we have to do college, and we have to. There's a lot of things we have to. A lot of boxes we have to check. But if that's the entirety of our life, just all me, then we got a big problem. That's not life. Life revolves around helping other people, around looking to other people and seeing what we could do for them. Thinking about them. That Nachum Ishkamza had such a taina on himself. Like, why didn't I listen to Reb Chaim Volozhiner? Why wasn't I concerned more about other people than about myself? I prepared food for myself. Why couldn't I prepare something for somebody else? And that is that's a very big taina on us. There are people out there that are very generous with their time and they give constantly. You know, I always speak about the Hatzalah guys, the Chaverim guys, the you know, people that start these gemachs, or people that you know, all these tzedakas that people are busy with. That's tremendous. That's unbelievable. That means you're literally putting other people out of you. Hatzalah guys are like Friday night. They just want to have a nice meal with their family. They get a call and they're out. They're out the door, saving somebody else's life. I give credit to them. I give a lot of credit, maybe more credit to their family, You know, what they do to have their, you know, father out the door and not be there Seder night and Shabbos night and all right, but this is, I guess, they all get tremendous chav for that. But that means that you're really a selfless type of person. If you're willing to, you know, to do this for strangers, it means you're helping other people. There are people in yeshiva that are doing little things. We always talk about it, like, you know, the urn. Do we still fill it? Do we still need to fill it? No. Okay, they took that away also. But back in the old days, before there was a self-filling urn. So, you know, the urn was a freestanding urn, and somebody had to fill it up before every day, so that there's hot water to make coffee for the guys. And nobody knew who it was, unless you, like, wake up really early in the morning, you go to the daf, and you see, like, once in a while, you catch the malach, who does it. That means that person, it's not a huge deal, you're just filling up an urn, but it means that you're not thinking just about yourself, you're thinking about somebody else. And, you know, that might be like the site of Purim, if we want to just tie it into Purim a little bit. You know, Mishlech Manis Ish L'Re'ehu, Matanis Savyainim, these are mitzvahs that they're teaching us how to worry about somebody else. It's not about me on Purim. Purim isn't about me. It's about, I want to give Mishlech Manis to people. I want to give Matanis Levyanim to people. I want to invite people to a Suda. I want to make people laugh with my costume. It's about L'Hayel Achrina, to give to other people. That's what Purim's about. It's about other people. It's about focusing not so much inward as outward. And that's what Pesach is about also. Pesach is also Kimcha de Pischa. You care about the poor people that need tzedakah, that need food, that need wine. And the Torah wants us to be in this mode of worrying about other people. There's no one in the world that does this better than Klal Yisrael. There's no, I've yet to, like, drive through the streets anywhere and see, like, an Italian Hatzalah. I don't see Hatzalah for Italians. I don't see Hatzalah for African Americans. I don't see Hatzalah for Arabs. I don't see it. I just don't see it. They go with the same fidney and whatever. Because they couldn't. Not because they couldn't financially. They couldn't get, people wouldn't, I don't think people would necessarily volunteer and give up their life to go on calls for other people unless you get paid. I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. But it's a Klal Yisrael thing. It's something that Klal Yisrael does. There's so many gemachs. Somebody was, like, telling me once that people rack their brains to figure out what gemach doesn't exist. You can go for a gemach if you need umbrellas, you need a stroller, you need clothing, you need there's gemachs for everything. Silk flowers for chasnas and tablecloth gemach and this gemach. So a guy said, I wanted to make a gemach, so I couldn't think of what to do. So he made a gemach of gemachs. He made a gemach list that tells you all of the gemachs that exist. There's nothing else to do. You have nothing else to do. You make a list of what other people are doing. But it's unbelievable. Why do people do that? Why do people, like, a Purim costume gemach and a shtick gemach, why are people doing this? They have nothing else to do with their time. There's something embedded in a Yiddish neshama that they just want to give other people. They just want to concern themselves about the plight and about the condition and about the betterment of other people. I was at a couple of weeks ago, I was in the hospital for Shabbos with a relative of mine, and I went into the Biker Chaylim room. You know, I was starving. It was like a sudden thing. The Biker Chaylim room was packed, like packed from floor to ceiling. You open the refrigerator, they had gefilte fish, and they had chopped liver, three different types of chopped liver. They had herring, they had sodas, they had, there was a hot oven, you can get cholent, you can get kugel, you can get, crazy. Like, well, I ate better there than I've eaten in years. You know, it was literally crazy. Everything was so good. You can have candy, and they have cookies, and they have, like, cake, and they have drinks and soda. Unbelievable. Like, who does, somebody goes out of there, and then, all right, I thought I'd have to sleep in the hospital room. No, there's a house. There's somebody bought a house right next to the hospital, and you just, they give you the key, you go in, and they have, like, a coffee table in the living room, and you have a stack of Ami magazines, Mishpacha magazines, Svarim, and then you get a room, and, like, you know, and there are other, it's a little strange, because there are, like, other people sleeping in like the room next door to you. It's like more of like a bed and breakfast type of thing, but who cares? But you sleep in a bed on Shabbos. People like go out of their way to care about other Yidden. Like there's, I don't think there's a room for, you know, for any other religion or any other ethnicity in the hospital. There's no bigger chaylim room for anyone, you know. Because Klal Yisrael cares. I mean, it's a crazy thing, but it's the reality. Because of this Reb Chaim Volozhin, this is what we're supposed to be thinking. We're thinking about other people. And this is all learned from this yesod of Nachum Mishkamzu, who was so hard on himself. We shouldn't be so hard on ourselves, but we could at least take a lesson from Nachum Mishkamzu to maybe raise the bar a little bit higher on ourselves and to try to think about helping other people, thinking about other people. If we, you know, if we feel that there's something that somebody else might need, when every time we're thinking about doing something, let's say I'm going to the supermarket and I'm going shopping for Shabbos, okay, to get snacks. I can ask my roommate. It's not a big deal to ask my roommate, what can I get you? I'm going to the market anyway. You know, can I get you some soda, some cookies, whatever? Or maybe buy extras that, and you bring it back for other guys in the room if you can afford it. But just to like stop thinking only about me and start, and you expand the me, you expand the I to, you know, to cast your net a little bit wider and include other people in your frame of references and your thinking, and that's all it takes to be a gadol. A gadol is just somebody that he cares about more people than himself. And the bigger the gadol, I think the Chazon Ish used to say, the bigger the gadol, the more people he encompasses in his circumference. And that's it's all doable. This is not saying we have to finish Shas. It's not saying we have to be a Bakim Mishnah Berurah. It's just something that's basic human. It's just basic. It's just something that we just have to train our minds a little bit to be a little bit more selfless and more thinking about other people. And it's going to be very good when you get married, because that's all the time thinking about somebody else, always, you know, offering, what can I get you? What can I do for you? What can I help take you shopping? Can I help you dry the dishes? That's all it's about. Just keep on giving. But you'll get, if you have training now and you'll, you know, you learn to not just think about yourself, then when you get married, you have a family, you have kids, you have in-laws, you'll be able to be that person that's going to be that really perfect human being that's always thinking about others, always generous with their time, with their resources, with their emotions for other people. And Mitzvah Hashem, we could be Gedalim as easy as that.